Been a good morning of worship. Appreciate that. Hopefully you understand that worship, when we enter into this worship service, that it is one continual act of worship. We don't just do singing first and then some prayers and then some guy gets up here and speaks for a while. It's all one continuous worship, our worship to God. And every, as I mentioned in my prayer a while ago, that we should pay attention to every word that we sing and understand what those words mean. Are we sharing that and sharing that to God? And praise and worship Him for what He's done in our lives. Hopefully you saw a theme this morning of surrender and surrender all, and that's the title of the message, is Surrender All. We're going to be looking at two passages, actually three, but Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, and then also Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. And so I'll let you know when we get to those. You can turn to those. Luke chapter 9 will be first, and then Matthew chapter 20 will come a little bit later in the message from there. And do, as Mickey mentioned earlier, do, if you have not signed up for Vacation Bible School, please, this is the last, this is, after today, Jonathan and his committee is going to be making that decision. Do we have enough workers to make that happen? And it'd be a shame if we don't. So step forward to help us with that. Yes? I'm sorry?
I forgot children's church.
Oh, you sure did. Hi, it wasn't me this time. It was him. No, I forgot it too. So if you any children still in here that want to go to children's church, I think they snuck out anyway, Mickey. But to any children want to go to children's church, Mickey's at the back. He's going to escort you there. Jonathan's working in the nursery this morning because of a couple of emergencies that happened there with personnel. Any other children want to go to children? Only children, kindergarten through third grade. Adults, you have to stay here. All right. They've got them all already. So good deal. Thank you, Mickey. I'm glad you remembered. One of us remembered some. Judson Van Deventer. Try to say it six times if I give you the spelling. Judson Van Deventer was raised on a farm near Dundee, Michigan. And after graduating from Hillsdale College, he taught art in public schools. Van Deventer was also active in his church. And because of his evangelistic passion, members of his church and others, including clergy, were urging him and encouraging him to become an evangelist. They felt God was leading him to do that. And he said sometime later, it took him 5 years before he finally surrendered to God's call on his life as an evangelist. And then a few years after that, while leading a revival meeting in East Palestine, Ohio, in 1896, Van Deventer wrote the hymn, I Surrender All. And when you sing the five verses, all five verses of that song, that powerful and famous hymn, you sing the word surrender 30 times. And you sing the word all 40 times. And yet how many times have we sang that song and we still have not surrendered all? And that's what he was getting at. It took him 5 years, but he finally realized he had to surrender all to that. You see, that's what I was talking about a while ago. When do we really sing from the heart when we sing in here and sing the words that are on the screen? And again, I love the way God leads Mickey to put those songs together that match the scripture and the topic of the message every day. And I greatly love all those who help with the instrumentalists and the vocalist. And did you notice we had a new guitarist today? We used to having a curly-headed guy over here. I don't know where he was at today, but in fact, I went in, I was walking by the Sunday school class, and all I saw was the top of his head, and I thought, well, I wonder who's teaching in there today. It didn't look like Jack. I'm glad I can tease Jack like that, and he can take it. So. But you know, we don't always sing from the heart. And I love, you can always tell choir members when they're singing from the heart because that smile is coming out across their face. And you can tell they're feeling the songs and the words that they're singing. And I wonder what they look, and I used to sing in a choir, so I know what they're looking at when they look out here and they see how many people are really, truly singing from the heart and how many people are just repeating the words that are in the hymnal or on the screen. Do we surrender our heart to Jesus when we come in here? That song, this thing. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I think Jesus speaks to us throughout the scriptures about a life surrendered to serving Him. If we call on Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we are to surrender all. It's not just part of us, not just a big part or a portion, but all. In fact, a surrendered life and a surrendered church will represent Christ to a lost and dying world, a world that is headed for an eternity of burning in a lake of fire, feeling constant pain without ever any relief. And we are supposed to help those in that manner by living surrendered, fully surrendered. Let's read from our first passage from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. This is Jesus speaking, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Perhaps what we underestimate about this passage and similar passages is the radical change that Christ is calling us to. If anyone wants to come after me or come with me or follow me, he says, there is to be no halfway. There is to be everything except this one part of my life. There is to be no halfway point or partial. You either are all in or you're all out. Just like we talked about last week with God and God the Father and Jesus Christ, they are all in one another. And Christ prayed that we would be all in Him as God the Father and He are all in each other. But what is required for us to be all in? Jesus gives it to us, I think, in this passage. First, he says to deny self. That's our first point. Deny self. He says, anyone wants to come after me or follow with me, he says he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Folks, that's calling for a radical change. That's saying change direction, change the walk you're in, change the way you're going, change what you're doing. Take up his cross daily. Denying yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Christ. There's no two ways about what that's saying. It's time for a radical change. Yet I believe the church in North America, I believe we've ignored or underestimated that calling. We've diminished its role. We've diminished the role of the church, diminished the role of what it means to be a Christian. You see, I believe we want to follow. Not I believe, I see it, I know it. We want to follow Jesus while at the same time embellishing our living in worldly pleasures and materialistic dwelling. And there's nothing wrong with having material possessions until we allow those possessions to become more important than our relationship with Jesus. Then they become idols, as we spoke about in week two of our study. And we say they're not idols. Oh no, that's not an idol. That's just, and we go on from there. That's not an idol because I use it for what God says. Anything that comes in front of Him becomes an idol. So what does it mean to deny self? Well, does it not mean to place on the shelf or to bury, totally bury, selfish desires, our own pleasures, our own wants? I mean, think of God doesn't ask every one of us to give up everything. But if those things are idols, he will. Just like the rich young ruler, remember that? The rich young ruler came to him and said, I've done all these things. I've kept the commandments. What else? And Jesus said, give up everything that you have. Give it away. And then come follow me. And the rich young ruler walked away. He couldn't do it. So we all have some of those things in our lives. What are those things that God will come to us with? To deny self means to put aside that I want. To put aside those things that I want to do in times when God wants me to do something else. To put aside what I want and replace it with what will please God in Christ. To deny self is to get up and to serve God when I really want to just stay home and do nothing but watch TV and lounge for a while, relax, take it easy, or scroll through Facebook. A couple of you pulled your feet back on that one. It may be serving in vacation Bible school like we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. To deny self means to put aside that I would rather do, that I want to do, and go serve God. To deny self is to bury my preference. To bury my preferences for church, the way I think church ought to be. Bury my preferences and instead worship God the way He wants. And for my worship to become a sweet aroma before His throne. If God were to sit down with you this afternoon and say, I love you and I gave my life for you. I appreciate what you attempt to do in my name. But I need you to deny yourself in these areas. What would He be speaking to you about? He just spoke to some of your hearts just then. What would those areas be in your life? Let's pray about those areas right now. Lord Jesus, the world tells me to take care of me first. The world tells me that I am my number one priority. But you, oh Lord, are calling me to a radical shifting in my thought processes. You, Lord, are asking me to die to myself, to bury the me first attitude. God, I do want to be reconciled to you in every area of my life. So, Lord, every area that you show me where I'm lacking, help me to be reconciled to you. Lord, please show me those areas and then give me the strength through your Holy Spirit to bury those selfish desires, to surrender all, and to live the way you teach me through Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, if you'll pray that kind of prayer, if you'll do that thing, that can be such a refreshing sense. And I was even going through this earlier this morning and prayed that prayer. And just even as I prayed that prayer, I just felt a refreshing sense that only God can give in those moments. So deny self, that's first. The second thing he says in that thing is to follow me, to follow Jesus' example. We all know Jesus gave us an example of how to live. It was his life. His life is our example. Yet I believe we do not comprehend the depth and the value of that statement. I know I sometimes just sit in awe and wonder of God and some of those kinds of statements. Do we understand that? Do we comprehend that? Do we take that into heart? Jesus spoke of going a second mile when you were only expected to go 1 mile, and there's biblical record for that. Jesus certainly was a second miler. He taught biblical values about the unity and the bond between himself and God the Father. He healed many who were sick. He even raised the dead. He shared meals with people that the religious leaders and church people would not. And on top of all this, he put up with a lot of lies, dishonesties, defamations, and from whom? Mainly from the church, religious leaders in the church. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 starts this way. It says, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave us an example that is contrary to our human nature. He said, not only love one another, his command and example here was to follow his example. To not only love one another, but to serve one another. If you want to be considered of high status, he says, you must become as a slave. Now, slaves have no rights. They have no freedoms. And so we become a slave to Christ. We serve others and not expecting anything in return and realize that we don't have the freedom to come and go as we please. Just do it when we want to. Slaves have no rights. And this is what Christ shares that you and I should be willing to become. The world says to be successful, you must be king of the hill. You must gain power over others. And then you must exercise your strength of position over others. Jesus says just the opposite. If you want to be considered commendable, worthy, he says to serve others as he served others. here is the God of the universe who had everything at his disposal, everything at his command, and yet he came and he lived as a servant. You see, with Jesus, it was never about Jesus. He went without food to teach, to heal, to serve. Even when he was tired, he kept going. He went without sleep in order to pray for others. Though innocent in every way, he suffered a beating than you and I should have had because we deserved it. He did not. But he took that beating just so you wouldn't have to. Yes, Jesus gave us an example to follow. Yet most of our service to him is only as far as our comfort is not infringed upon. As long as my comfort's not infringed upon, I'm okay. I can't do that. Or, hey, but you know what's on TV that night. You can't expect me to come and do this when something that I really like is on TV. Jesus gave us an example to follow, but we like to serve as long as we are not infringed upon. I've said it before, and for this message, it's in here too. It's in your study this week as we studied Return to Me. We do not give sacrificially. We don't know how to give. We just don't give sacrificially in the Western Hemisphere, I like to say, in the Westernization of Christianity. But we don't give sacrificially of our time, of our talent, or of our treasure. If your church leaders came together and said, we believe God wants us to raise $500,000 to refurbish our facilities to be better stewards for him, what would be your sacrificial giving? Now, you understand we are in the middle of a capital campaign to raise money to help refurbish this. And they've asked for $100,000. Let's raise $100,000. Then we'll start working. We'll do some. And then we'll come back and see what else needs to be done. But what if they came to you all at once and said, you know, this is the capital campaign. We believe God's leading us to honor him and refurbish this building to bring it back up to where it looks really nice for and attractive for him. What would be your sacrificial giving? You see, folks, customarily we give only out of our abundance. We don't give till it hurts. And I'm not talking about just only your money. Again, let me say your time, your talents, as well as your treasure. We do not consider giving beyond what we're comfortable with giving. If it's going to infringe, well, you know what, we got this money saved up for vacation. I guess we could. No, we can't do that. We got to go on vacation this year. Folks, let me tell you, the end of your comfort zone is the beginning of your sacrifice. Sacrificial giving. Doesn't matter how much you give if you're only giving out of your abundance. If you got $100 and you're just giving out of what you can, if you got $100 million and you're just giving, look at what I'm giving. But if you're only giving out of your abundance, you've not learned to live sacrificially. I have a friend who, when he was pastoring a particular church, felt that God was leading them to move, to relocate, and to rebuild new facilities on new property. And he went to his wife, told his wife that he believed that God was leading them to do a particular thing, give away some money to that cause. And what God had led him to do was to give his entire retirement, just empty that account, empty his entire retirement. He was about 50 years old at the time, I think. And so he emptied his retirement account and gave it to the church for that rebuilding fund as an example, because he felt God was leading him to do that. So he's had to start all over. He's not going to have a whole lot of money come retirement. But he and his wife were living sacrificially. They were giving sacrificially. It's not all about money, as I said a while ago, but he was sharing that story again recently, and I was with him, and I just remembered that what a testimony of giving sacrificially, knowing when they're going to need money in retirement, and yet giving every penny that was in that account. That's living sacrificially. What about you? What are you willing to give up? Time? Talent? And your treasures? What are you willing to give up to follow the example of Christ, to be a servant of Christ? Folks, if you want to be a follower of Christ, follow his example. do what Jesus calls you to do. It may not be anything about money. It may just be, I need you to give it one more night a week. Would you go, if you got time, maybe God would say to you, you know what, there's a lot of widows and widowers that could use somebody just coming by and spending 15 or 20 minutes with them a month. Would you be willing to go and do that? What is it? What are you willing to give up to live sacrificially for God when he calls you to? Let's pray. Jesus, you live the perfect example of servanthood and called us to follow your example. You are the creator and the sovereign rule of the universe, yet you chose to serve others. So who am I to think that I deserve special attention? Help me, Lord, to resist my human nature of wanting to be served. Lord Jesus, regardless of how others respond today, I choose to follow your example. Enable me. Teach me. Teach me the joy of following your example by me being both a servant and even a slave of yours to others. I choose this role because you gave your life as a ransom for me. I love you because you first loved me. And you did all this for me. Enable me, Lord. Enable me to surrender all. In your precious name. Amen. So first point was to deny self. The second point was to follow Jesus. The third point is to restore Jesus as head. Perhaps we sometimes forget that Jesus truly is the head of the church. Is it possible that we do church our own way more than his way much of the time? Let's look what he says in, or what's said in Scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says this. He says, and he, being Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, or first of all. God the Father installed Jesus as the head of the church. His church. Christ is the Word of God. Genesis says that God spoke the world into being, and Christ is that spoken word. Therefore, Christ is over all creation. And being so, that also means that he's over all new creation. We as believers are the new creatures, the new creation. Therefore, Christ is to be head over all that we do. Folks, if Christ is the head of the church and you and I make up the church, then what is Christ to us? Your head contains your brain. I know you may not think so of some people, but that's true. The head contains the brain. That's where God put it. Your head contains the brain. Your brain is the control center for everything that your body does. Every action, every word that comes out of your mouth, every thought in your head, everything that you do, every word that you say. Your body does nothing without your head's consent. You don't take one step without your body telling your foot to move and your leg to move it. Your hand doesn't feed you without your body or your brain telling it to do so. Your body does nothing without the brain's consent. Now, using that same process, think of this. Christ is the head of the church, then nothing we do should displease God, right? Everything we do should come from Christ alone. And that should be true. But as we've studied and as we've learned in past weeks, not one of us lives a perfectly God-centered life. But it's time to restore Jesus to his rightful place as head of his church. I mean, think about it. We are enormously forgiven through his blood, his shed blood. We are richly blessed through his resurrection. And we are specially gifted through his empowering. As head of the church, Christ wants to do God-sized wonders through the church, right here at Central Baptist Church. And so, my thoughts as I studied for this week, prior to this week, and preparing this message, is this question. What would be your response if God began doing miraculous things through some of your peers right here in this congregation? What would be your response if God started doing God-sized things? If God started using some of the people right here in our midst, in this congregation, to accomplish God-sized things, unexplainable things, miraculous signs, miraculous wonders. What would be your response? Because I believe some of you would run. You'd shun it. You would shake your head about it. But what would be your response if God started using some of the people right here in our midst? Folks, I'm talking about God using some of you to maybe pay off people's debts, to love the unlovely. What if God used some of your people here to befriend the unfriendly, lead people to faith in Jesus Christ right here in Paris, Kentucky, building disciples and changing this community forever, one person at a time? Folks, I'm here to tell you today, this morning, God wants to do God-sized works through you. God wants to do God-sized. You know how I know that? Did God speak to me this week and just come up, boom, whoa, what a light? No. It's in His Word. It's been here all along. He says He wants to do God-sized things through each one of us as believers. Not the things that we're comfortable with doing. Not the things that don't stretch us. He wants to stretch you. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. And that's how you're blessed. But what will it take for you to be ready for this to happen? For God to use you to do God-sized things. God-sized signs to this church that would encourage and inspire others. And in the community would draw people to Christ. Would draw people into a relationship. I think sometimes we forget that community is lost. Folks, it's time. It's time to restore Christ back to the head of the church, His rightful position. Let's pray as we get ready for our invitation. Christ Jesus, You are the head of the church, Central Baptist Church. It's Your church. You are the head of this church. It is Your church. It is not ours. Help me and help us as a church to place You first in everything, in all that we do, in every decision, in every action. Use us, Lord, in ways that we never have thought possible. Transform us into Your image so people will see Jesus through us and recognize that He is the head of the church. Guard us from doing anything that would tarnish or bring shame to Your precious name. Guard us from holding back Your Holy Spirit's power and to bring shame, anything that would bring shame to Your precious name, to Your work. Reveal Yourself to the world through us as only You can do. Father, draw people to You during this time and use us, God, fully surrendered. Use us as a surrendered people for one of Your unparalleled great awakenings. Today, Lord, I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I give it up. Freely, I give myself to Jesus. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. In His precious name, amen. Would you stand? As we enter this invitation, it's God's invitation. Watch the words. Listen to the words. Share the words in your mind as you sing them to this great hymn that was written by Judson Vandeventer. Let's pray one more time before we sing. Father God, thank You so much for this morning, for this time. Touch our hearts, as You've been trying to touch our hearts already this morning. Continue in that manner. Touch our hearts that enable us to do what we need to do for You so that others can see and others get encouraged, others here get inspired, and people outside are drawn to You and into a relationship with You. And Father, someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, they don't know where they're going to go when they leave this earth. They want to get that security nailed down. Then let them come. This is Your invitation, God. So help us now to respond. Open our hearts. Free us from clenching those pews or from holding our feet from moving. And let us move as Christ, the head of the church, moves in us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.